Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The US now holds the G20 presidency, and it's publicly declared that it won't invite South Africa to next year's summit, and that's taking place in Miami. It's a very strange situation that South Africa has, I'm not going to say found itself in, because I think it's worked its way in. And that's to a very, very difficult and complicated relationship with the United States. And somehow the rhetoric, the language, the to and fro is just very, to me it seems unnecessary, and it really just doesn't feel productive. Why isn't South Africa doing more? Considering South Africa certainly needs the U.S. or seems to need the U.S. more than the U.S. needs us. To try and understand this, we're joined this morning by David May, Research Manager and Senior Research Analyst, to talk about the South Africa's relationship with the U.S. as seen through the eyes of the G20. David, a very, very good morning to you. Firstly, can you just explain, we obviously are very familiar with the G20. Does the United States have the ability, legally and otherwise, to kick South Africa out, so to speak?
Good morning to you as well. That's a great question. Whether or not it is able or allowed to do it, it has done it, essentially. It's not invited South Africa to the initial meetings starting for the next year's G20 meeting. So whether or not it's able or allowed to, it's functionally done that. It also refused to participate when South Africa was leading the latest summit in South Africa. And it's just clearly an extension of the hostility that exists between the two governments. And rather than trying to make amends when Ramaphosa came last in May, he's continued down this path of hostility. You know, you could, to his credit, say that he stuck to his guns, but it also came at a pretty big price for the country, for South Africa, in terms of continuing its spat with the United States.
And why would this be? Why would South Africa continue to escalate the discord when it is going to clearly not benefit the country or its people in the long run? I mean, obviously this calls for speculation, but I'm just curious as to what your thoughts are on this.
There's a certain value in presenting yourself as being under attack by the United States, by foreign powers, by hostile actors. And so rather than fixing the problems, the very serious problems you have in the country, being on a somewhat of a war footing and presenting as though you're under attack can be helpful. It's a useful distraction, especially when, you know, the country has such issues with running water, electricity, potholes. And it's actually, maybe a little out of place that South Africa was even hosting the G20 with the, you know, leading developed nations, when it itself doesn't quite have its act together.
Mm. Are the other countries in the part of the G20 able to censure, for example, the United States and demand that South Africa is included?
The United States is leading it. I haven't seen any reactions to that effect, except from South Africa, from the South African government itself. The United States has made its decision. Points a little bit to a reality, which is the G20 is supposed to be the 20 most powerful economic nations in the world, and South Africa clearly doesn't fall in that category anymore. Maybe 30 years ago they did, but now they don't, sadly. And a lot of that's due to the mismanagement by the ruling ANC party.
Right. As far as I understand, South Africa was included because it was not because it's one of the most powerful, but more to represent the emerging markets and developing countries. And I think the same thought applies in that I'm pretty sure we aren't the most developed, advanced developing nations. So I think that is a concern. But more broadly, does this signal a shift in international norms where a powerful country can arbitrarily influence multilateral forums? Or has that really been happening anyway, just less overtly?
Yeah, I mean, this is nothing new. Maybe it's a little more overt, but when it comes to multilateral forums, we've seen, especially in the United Nations, China has done its best to put its candidates forward to, in some cases, actually pretty egregiously bribe and intimidate when they have votes for different leadership positions within UN bodies. And so some of that has been pretty overt and pretty egregious in terms of miscarrying the intention of those multilateral institutions. I think the United States is taking this in a different direction. South Africa has been cozying up to Russia, Iran, China, and that's much to the dismay of the United States. And so it's showing its dissatisfaction with that track. And so it's making its voice known, especially this is the first time that the U.S. has held the presidency in decades. And so it's taking full advantage of that.
In terms of the what this indicates in terms of with regard to the relationship between the U.S. and South Africa, it obviously is not positive. There's very little positive to read out of this. How does South Africa reverse that? How does it start to improve this relationship? The U.S. seems very hell-bent on this genocide of farmers notion, which many, including myself, don't see as a genocide. We see it as a horrific, horrific situation where people are being murdered, but that is not necessarily the same thing, excuse me, as a genocide. Without South Africa capitulating or acknowledging something that they don't believe to be true, and most South Africans actually don't believe to be true, how does South Africa improve the relationship with the United States? Because that, to me, feels like a focus on the wrong things. There's many reasons, legitimate reasons, why South Africa is problematic, but that isn't necessarily one of them.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some problematic issues within what is going on. In
terms of course.
Land redistributions, reclaiming. So those are problematic, but maybe not rising up to the level of demanding U.S. intervention. But even if there seems to be an impasse on that issue, perhaps they can work through on other issues where there it would be easier. It would be easier for South Africa to distance itself from China, Russia, and in particular from Iran. It would be easy for it no longer to take such an activist role on issues related to Israel. I mean, clearly that has to do with its ethos of being this revolutionary power and seeing itself as some type of vanguard for morality. I think that that kind of approach is misguided, not just on the facts of the matter that they have wrong, but it's just if the country has much bigger fish to fry, it would be better spent using its energies towards something more productive rather than these kinds of Don Quixote quests.
Absolutely right. That is where we leave it. But David, before I do let you go, how do you think that the next few months is going to play out? Will it get worse before it gets better? Will it stay at this very unpleasant diplomatic level? Or will things start to improve, do you think?
Unless the South African government comes up with a very satisfying resolution to a lot of the issues at hand, I don't expect it to get any better. The United States is clearly taking advantage of its role in the G20 leadership the South African diplomatic its embassy and its representation in the United States is diminished, and so it's a real low point for U.S. South African relations here, and it's going to take quite a bit of reconciliation and a different approach from President Ramaphosa, first and foremost.
David May, Research Manager, Senior Research Analyst, talking to us from the United States. Thank you for staying up to speak to us this morning.